In the Christmas bird count, it's not just the local resident species that are tallied, but the birds of passage, too. So if you happen to live in the right latitude, you might get to add in the Arctic tern. They're rather ordinary black and white shorebirds with bright red beaks, but they are champions of migration. In fact, Arctic terns travel as much as 56,000 miles a year, which is the longest known migration on Earth. To give them some help, conservationists work hard to protect part of their breeding habitat on the east coast of England, just south of Scotland. Here to tell us more is Gwen Potter. She's the countryside manager for Northumberland Coast and Farne Islands at the National Trust, a conservation organization.
They're the most graceful birds you could ever imagine. So they have this incredible white and gray color, and they just kind of float through the sky and twist. And in the start of the breeding season, they like to play with each other in the sky, and they'll fight each other off, and they have these beautiful forked tails as well. So they're quite often called sea swallows, and they're just the most wonderful bird to see. And they're very, very angry, our Arctic terns as well. They like to attack people when people approach their nests. So they've got a lot of character as well.
Your organization has bought up some 200 acres of land to protect that breeding habitat for them, and you have sort of set up a round-the-clock babysitting service for them. Why and what did that entail?
We already have an area of land that we look after for these terns. And we now have a bigger area that we can protect, which is absolutely fantastic. So we've basically doubled the area that these terns could potentially be in and nesting in. So the idea will be to close off some of these areas in the summer months to allow those terns to come in and nest on the sand. And that way we'll be able to keep an eye on them round the clock. We'll be living in the dunes nearby, and we'll be checking up on them 24/7.
Now, I understand in some of your protection of these birds, you actually end up relocating nests. How does that work?
We do. When there's a very high tide, we move the nests onto fish boxes filled with sand, and that just raises them above that water level. It's something that is quite risky because obviously you think, oh, if I'm interfering with a nest, it might create an issue. But it's a tried and tested method. 80% of the time it's successful. And ultimately, if we didn't do that, they would simply be washed away.
So what are the risks to the terns there as they are nesting?
In the daytime, it's generally humans, people. So if people walk through and they don't see the eggs and they don't really know where they're going, they can cause a lot of disturbance. If they get too close, quite often they'll get attacked by the birds. So they'll very quickly realize that they're not supposed to be there. But in the meantime, it's quite scary for them. But in the meantime, what will happen is the birds will be off their nests all of the time. And then they're leaving their eggs behind. Their eggs will chill and they won't survive. In the nighttime, it tends to be predators that are coming in. So we'll have all kinds of different species that will come in and try and take eggs and they'll try and take the younger chicks. We do have one more risk, which is people actually stealing eggs.
People stealing tern eggs? Why?
So it's something that people used to do in Victorian times. They just used to collect eggs and it was a bit like stamp collecting. And there are people who, for very, very rare species, we'll spend huge amounts of money on acquiring some of these rarer eggs.
So what are your results? How many terns were able to successfully breed there, and how does that compare to previous years?
We had a slightly higher number of Arctic tern pairs last year, but the number of fledglings that they produced, so the number of birds that successfully went on to become adults, went from 2 to 479. So the previous year in 2016, it was 2, and then it's gone up by a very large number, which is fantastic news.
Wow. So what do you attribute that to?
In all honesty, it's weather. So we do as much as we can to protect these birds, but quite often the weather can cause huge issues because they live on the tide line. If there are increased numbers of sort of extreme tides, the eggs are washed out. And we had slightly better weather in most recent years. Over time, what we have seen, though, is that we do have increasing numbers of sort of really severe weather events that will impact on these nesting birds. So we're looking that in the long term, we will have more extreme tides, which can impact some of the time in localized areas as well.
Now, of course, once those Arctic terns take off, that's when their real work begins. Tell me a bit about their migration pattern.
Most wonderful thing. Yeah, they've got a bit of a job. They basically go to Antarctica from here in Northumberland. And when they reach Antarctica, they'll spend quite a lot of time essentially flying the Southern Oceans to Australia, New Zealand, back in between, around Antarctica, and then right back up to exactly the same places where they originally nested. So that's the equivalent of flying twice around the circumference of the globe. And they see more daylight than any other bird because they're spending all of our winters down in the Antarctic, where it's now sunlight almost 24 hours a day.
So among all these Arctic terns that, you know, buzz around the planet to the tune of nearly 60,000 miles a year, any one of those critters that's attracted your attention for one reason or another?
We do have a couple of birds that actually, some of the terns kind of nest on the route where we're actually going to move these boxes. So they will quite often attack you, particularly at the beginning of the season. They get very, very angry when you go past them. So what they'll do is they'll swoop down, they'll peck you on the head. They'll also poo on your head as well. So those particular, and they're the birds that come back every year. So number 23 is back. Fantastic. We know what's going to happen when we go down and look at the boxes.
Number 23 is apparently full of it, huh?
That's right.
Glenn Potter is the countryside manager for the Northumberland Coast and Farne Islands at the National Trust, which is a British conservation organization. Gwen, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Oh, thank you. It was really good to talk to you. Thank you.